pass these out. They're going to be my pen keys out for us.
All right. We're adding to our chorus book. So we have some spirituals to add to our chorus book. We have more that we're adding. These are just some of them. Darnell's working on some. I'm working on some. We're getting... All right, let's go to page number... Page number 3. Give me that old-time religion, number 3. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. We're going to sing this song, and then This Train is Bound for Glory. Number 3 in the handouts, and Armani and Savan have more, so they can give more. Darnell, Savan, and Armani have more. So who needs a handout, song handouts? Pass them around. Give me that old-time religion.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my father. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother and mother. It's good enough for me. Get on board. Get on board. Get on board. I'm religion. It's soon for many or more. The gospel train is coming. I hear it close at hand. I hear those car wheels rumbling and rolling through the land. Get on board now, little children. Get on board now, little children. Get on board now, little children. There's room for many or more.
Let's go to This Train is Bound for Glory. Does anyone need one? And Darnell has more if anyone needs one. Okay, right at the bottom of page 3. At the bottom.
This train is bound for glory. This train. This train is bound for glory. This train. This train is bound for glory. Don't carry nothing but the righteous and the holy. This train is bound for glory. This train. This train. Don't carry no gamblers. This train. This train.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder on page 6. Someone help me out with the start of this one. Does anyone know this one? That's it. Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross.
balls go to a favorite on the first base. Swing low, sweet chariot. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming toward me, carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me. Great songs in here. There's one called In That Great Getting Up Morning. There's not too many songs on the coming of the Lord, but that one's a really great song on the coming of the Lord. So we'll learn these together. And let us bow together in prayer as we begin. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Be seated. We want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. It says, Christ hath made us free. Beautiful Memorial Day bulletin. You can put it on your fridge. Remind us that not only are we free in the United States of America, but more importantly, we're free because of Jesus. Free from the slavery of sin and hell and Satan. And so what a victory we have. Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. Messiah will get one to you. Okay. Just by way of announcements, we had a great picnic on Monday. Did anybody get a count of how many were there? Carrie, did you get a count of how many were at the picnic on Monday? Okay. I know it was at least 40, so we had a really good attendance at the picnic. And so we're very, very, it was a great time. Then this coming Sunday, we're having our VBT volunteer first planning meeting. If you can help us with any aspect of the week, July 1st through the 5th, it's 9 a.m. to 12 noon each day, and we need helpers. We need ladies who will help register kids. We have a form they fill out, and it's pretty easy. easy to get a gist of, and then so we give them that form, and then the parents sign that, and then we every day we keep track of their points for how many verses they said. So if we can have all hands on deck from all the adult volunteers to help get these things ready, and so we're going to try to get on the same page this Sunday with those things. We'll give you sample forms so that way you have a heads up on what's coming. Then next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, June 8th, we have a gardening day and shed raising day. We want to build the shed out back, and so we can store some of our things that we need put in storage. And so come on and help us out. Start at 10 a.m. We'll bring in donuts and fruit and juice, and then for lunch we'll take care of your lunch as well. So come on out and give us a hand. Then pray for Jonathan and his wife Emma, as they are coming in a few more weeks, and we look forward to having them with us for a couple weeks. And it's good timing because the Hodges will be leaving. They'll be going down to Florida, so we'll definitely need more help. And pray for Kaylin, as she'll be going down there to live and to go for her senior year. And so pray for Kaylin, because we're going to miss her greatly, but we know the Lord will direct and guide her. Then Father's Day is coming up, Sunday, June 18th, and we do have VBT flyers for you to pass out there on the back table. You could take the half-page flyer, give that to your friends at school, or you could take this one and put that on your neighbor's doors, invite them. It's got a nice little door knocker thing. Darnell and I were out yesterday giving these out in the community, and we had some interested parents, and these have a nice little door knocker thing. You just bend it along the perforation, and you hang that right on their door. Put it this side out so that way they can see what it's all about. Just a nice way to invite your neighbors. Give it to them in person, okay? So they're on the back table. We got a lot of them. If you need any, raise your hand. Messiah will give you some. If you need one, two, or three, let him know, and he will give you one, two, or three, or however many you need to invite your friends. All right. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Announcements? Okay, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God tonight. The blessing that we can give back to God of our tithes and offerings, and he will multiply and use it. Okay, so if you need any of those flyers, see Messiah. All right. Okay, now Messiah, he needs you back. Okay. All right. Paul, why don't you help Mr. Hodge while Messiah is handing out flyers? Thank you. Great. If you need flyers, just let Messiah know. He'll get them to you. All right. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And God says, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. So let us give to Jesus tonight. Let us pray. Amen. Amen. Have any praises tonight, answers to prayer, blessings you'd like to share tonight? Yes, Serenity. Okay, is that Joel? Yeah, let's pray for Joel as he hurt his hand at school today. Anyone else? Any praises or prayer requests? Darnell, why don't you share a little bit of what we did yesterday and today. And then also went to where else? The nursing, Medivis? Amen, amen. So told Darnell, I want to train him to give a short message. We'll start with that. Already he was song leading today, so that went pretty well. So he's got talents. And he helped us put the banners. We drew on the banners, so we're going to put them out by the road tomorrow. So a lot getting done. So pray for Darnell. Anyone else? Blessing to share. Yes. Sahara. Okay, it's good to have some visitors with us tonight. It's good to have Alzina back with us, all the way from Colorado. So how did you do this year at school in Colorado? Did you like it? Are you on a mountain over there in Colorado? It's pretty flat? Or is it like a valley? A valley? Okay. So you're not near Denver or Boulder? Colorado? You're near Denver, okay. Does it sometimes take your breath away when you go up to like drive to high places in Colorado? Yeah, it's a totally different landscape than here in South Jersey. So pray for Alzina, and you'll be here with us through August? Yes, okay, good. Oh, that'll be wonderful. Good to have you back. And we were praying for you. Then it's good to have Serenity back with us. We missed Serenity while she was gone. We're glad to have Serenity back with us again tonight. All right. Any other blessings? Something you are thankful for tonight or a prayer request?
Oh.
Yes.
You pray for our friend Jack.
Okay. Great. All right. Anyone else? Serenity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Serenity is glad that she's here. Anyone else? What are you thankful to God for or prayer requests? Abby? Okay. That you'll get better? Good. Okay. Let's keep praying for Abby. Good. It took a lot of courage to say that. What's that? What'd she say?
The face better.
The face better. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. So why don't you share, Carrie? And she prays for herself to get saved at an early age. He does, so that's cute. All right, anyone else? How did Atlantic go? Pastor Carol?
It went well. It went
Well. Okay. All right, and then pray for us as we seek to go over to Caring next week. We want to talk to Pastor Logan about this too, to see if next Wednesday, instead of a whole different day and then having to juggle schedules, we were wanting to possibly do Wednesday around lunchtime. So that way we didn't have to go long from where we were at Atlantic
So they said they have an opening at from 12:15 to 1:15. So we take a brief break after Atlantic, and then go over to Caring from 12:15 to 1:15. So they have us scheduled for that for next week. So let us pray that things go well, and that any who aren't saved next week will hear the gospel and get saved. So pray for that ministry there with Caring, that if the Lord would open the doors, that we'll see that doors open or close or whatever His will is for that ministry. So pray for the Caring ministry next Wednesday. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests or praises? And give us an update on how baby Grayson's doing. Okay, all right. And he passed all the kidney thing. Good. Amen. So, keep praying for him. And he's got a little bit of, spasms? Spasms, okay. So he's really gotten older. You could see his face is a lot more detailed. He's definitely more alert. He's really alert for a three-month-old. 3.5 months, wow. So he's getting older before our eyes. So let's pray for him, little Grayson. Anyone else? Yes, Carol. Okay, let's pray for John with lung cancer. All right, any others? Okay. Okay. Okay, so let's pray for Joan. It was terminal cancer. All right, any others? All right, so Lauren, we're praying for Grayson, and he looks so much stronger and bigger just in the last couple weeks, so he's doing well. So let's keep praying for Grayson and for his recheck. When's his recheck? This coming Wednesday. Okay, so let's pray for his recheck. All right. Okay, at this time we'll dismiss to our groups, master clubs, and... Oh, yeah, we're praying. So let's divide up, okay? The usual divisions, okay? So let's have... okay. Let me see. I can't see everybody. Okay, here we go. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Hodge are going to pray with the first four here. Zamora, Zion, Elizabeth, and Holly. You go over there with Arnell, okay, and pray with them. Okay, then Miss Dominique gets the next three girls there, Zaria, Melina, Sahara, Rachel, and Lydia. Go with Miss Dominique. Want to go to your class? Go with Mama. There we go. You okay? All right, let us turn our Bibles tonight as we look into God's Word at Carol at 8:15. If you can bring the kids in just to present whatever you want to present with them. And I have to take Azaria. Wellington and I are going to meet with Azaria, Darnell, and Savon for membership at that time at 8:15. So if you can bring the rest in. Carrie, if you can bring your class in at 8:15 to present. Mr. Hodge and I are going to go meet with prospective members. Okay. It's in the van under the seat, the driver's seat. Okay. All right. Green van. Okay. All right. So let us turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 13 tonight. So we look into the Word of God, some great truths. How many have ever heard the song on your sheets there that we have handed out in that great getting up morning? Fare you well, in that great getting up morning. Fare you well. Okay, it tells a story. It's pretty neat. How many have ever heard a really good singer sing it? There's a lot of them. Paul Robeson, all the good ones. Anyway, so it's a really neat song. I don't know if I can do it justice, but maybe we can try it, because it kind of goes along with our theme tonight. So let's turn to page 4. Pastor Logan, you've got to help us out, okay? Page 4 in that in the song sheet. Did you guys get song sheets up there? Okay. Not page 4. A great get in the morning. All right, so if you can start it out for us, Pastor. And does anyone else need a song sheet? We have some more up here. Here we go. What's that? You can't start this one? All right. We'll try to start with the chorus, because I don't really know the verses as well. Okay. In that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. In that great getting up morning, fare you well. Oh, preacher, fold your Bible. Prayer maker, pray no more. For the last soul's converted. That the time shall be no longer. Fare you well, in that great getting up morning. Fare you well, in that great getting up morning. Fare you well, for the judgment day is coming. Do you hear the sinner saying? So while I sing that part, either sing with me, or you can do the echo part, which is fare you well. Okay, so that's it's like a dialogue between the singer and or the singers and the fare you well crowd. All right, let's keep going. The Lord spoke to Gabriel. Go look behind the altar. Well. Fare you well. Take down the silver trumpet. Blow your trumpet, Gabriel. Lord, how long shall I blow it? Blow it right calm and easy. Do not alarm my people. Tell them to come to judgment. Gabriel, blow your trumpet. Lord, how loud shall I blow it? Loud as 7 peals of thunder. Wake the living nation. Place 1 foot upon the dry land. Place thee there on the sea. In that great getting up morning, fare you well, in that great getting up morning, fare you well. So it kind of goes through now all the things that are going to happen. At the second coming of the Lord, there's so much going on there. You want to keep singing? Pat wants to keep singing? All right, it talks about the dry bones come up, the world's on fire. You'll see poor sinners. You'll see the world in fire. The moon a bleeding, the stars a falling, the elements a melting, the forked lightning. You'll cry out for cold water while the Christians shout in glory, saying amen. That just means so be it, not rejoicing. We don't rejoice in someone getting judged, but they say amen, as in so be it, to your damnation. No mercy for the poor sinner in that great getting up morning. Hear the rumbling of the thunder. Earth shall reel and totter. Then you'll see the Christians rising. You'll see the righteous marching. See them marching home to heaven. Then you'll see my home in glory with all his holy angels. Take the righteous home to glory. There they live with God forever on the right hand of my Savior in that great getting up morning. Something to look forward to as believers. And although it's very, very troubling for the unsaved person, that's why our job is to get the gospel out there. That we need to get the gospel out. So a lot of these spirituals shed a lot of light on a lot of themes and songs we don't see in all the hymns. And so these are an important part of our Christian songs and heritage. So we want to add them to our chorus book. So we're going to add more. Darnell's still typing a lot out, and I'm still typing a lot out. So we'll get more out there. Okay, Mark chapter 13. I thought that was a good song to go with Jesus' Olivet Discourse here in Mark chapter 13. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night tonight to meet together and spend time in your word, Lord, to cleanse our minds, to purify our hearts, that you would help us through the preaching of your word, Lord. We are a needy people. We are prone to wander. Lord, we feel it, prone to leave you, Lord, but we don't want to, and that's why we're here tonight, to draw close to you and to bring our families closer to you. Thank you for the salvations that happened last Wednesday. We thank you for little William and Viviana trusting Christ as Savior. We pray you to help them to grow in you. Help them to learn in master clubs and just to put on the principles that they need to put on as new Christians in you. We pray you this study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of Jesus' disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, now Dominique, they may need you over there because I think Trisha is not here tonight. So she's... All right, Mark 13, verse 2. See what manner of stones and buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. But when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Okay, so here we have an important question that the disciples asked to Jesus. Because Jesus is now, he's about to go to the cross. This is the week of the Olivet Discourse. So he's very soon to go to the cross. After 2 days was the Feast of the Passover, chapter 14. So the very next chapter is he's already teaching them the Sunday of the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. Jesus gives this discourse on the end times events, on future events. How many ever wanted to know, you know, what are the future events? What are, you know, I get them all confused. Revelation and Daniel and what are all those things? Okay, so let's do a quick recap of end times events. What's the first thing to happen? In the church age, we're in the church age right now. Okay, what's the first thing that's going to happen here in the church age? To close it out. The sound of the trumpet. Okay, the next thing to happen on God's timetable is the rapture. The rapture of the saints. So that's going to close the church age when we hear the trumpet blow. Okay? And that can happen at any time. And then what's going to happen next? Okay? So that's the rapture. The rapture of the saints. Okay? And then it's going to start what period of time when the rapture happens? There's going to be a peace treaty signed. Peace treaty will be signed between who and who? Yes. Israel is going to sign a peace treaty with the other countries. And the Antichrist is going to negotiate that treaty. Okay? Antichrist. Okay? He will rise up at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? And he's going to kind of take charge, and he's going to give some wonderful explanation of why all these people are suddenly missing. You know? Millions. Can you imagine all the born-again Christians all around the world in every country all of a sudden disappear? You know, you have Christians in China by the millions, perhaps a billion, at least millions of Christians over there. You have millions here in the United States. You got millions all over the place. All of a sudden, we're going to be gone. That's going to be, you know, you can't just say, oh, well, don't worry about it, you know. No, the Antichrist is going to make up some kind of great fable of, well, the earth had to cleanse those nasty people. You know, they believed, or they were, the earth did not want them. They were not worthy to be here on the earth, and so the earth has cleansed itself. You know, some kind of wonderful fabrication. He's going to come, and people are going to believe it, and they're going to say, oh, yes, we need you. Oh, a great ruler, we need you. Okay, so that's what's going to start the seven-year tribulation. The Antichrist signing the peace treaty with Israel, okay? So the seven-year tribulation, and halfway into that tribulation is where we're going to see a lot of today. 3.5-year mark, okay? And here's the seven-year tribulation, okay? So we're up in heaven. We're going through two events while they are all down here. We're at the judgment seat of Christ, and what's the second event? Takes place up in heaven with us. What's that, Darnell? Okay. Judgment for the believers. That's the judgment seat of Christ first. And then we're going to be, after we go through that judgment, then rewards are given out at that judgment. That's not where people are going to hell. That's where believers are going to either get rewarded with crowns. A crown, we can try to earn one of the five crowns in the Bible. There's five crowns we can earn. There's the crown of life. That's the martyr's crown. Not too many of us are... well, we never know. Never know how things are going to shape out. Then there's the crown of glory. And that's the crown of glory for pastors and faithful church members. Okay, I've heard many preachers talk about this crown. So the pastor doesn't get a faithful, you know, crown of glory for just by himself. He needs faithful church members to help him get that crown. Okay, so we'll all share in that one. Then the third crown is the crown of life. That's, the crown of incorruptible crown. That's for someone who... a Christian who tries to live a life that is obedient to Christ, they keep under their body, and they keep sin. They keep sin. Let's say they run to win that incorruptible crown. Then number four crown is the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing. That's for winning people to Christ. The crown of rejoicing. Soul winner. So it's important to win souls. Try to win your family. Try to win your friends so you can possibly win that crown. Then there's the fifth crown, which is crown. Anybody remember? Okay. Crown of life is the martyr's crown, incorruptible crown. Okay, so we'll think of it anyway. So try it. Oh, the one for confessing their sins, the crown of that loves his appearing. Okay, that loves his appearing. That's the crown of readiness. That's the Christian that's confessing their sins as soon as they do them. Okay, so try to win one of these crowns. You know, you say, well, I'm good at that. I'm not so good at this. Well, pick out one you can try to win, because the Lord can help you win a crown. And then he wants to give gold, silver, precious stones at that time as well. So let's have something to show. Okay, so here Jesus is saying, as you go into Jerusalem, that one stone is not going to be left upon another, that because Jerusalem is going to get judged. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, when shall these things be? Okay? Now, when did Jerusalem get raised the first time? Where it, literally, there was not one stone left upon another. Sure enough, they dug up the old walls and the old section of Jerusalem where the Roman Emperor Titus came and tore it down with his soldiers. And he told them to tear it down, but he kind of looked at everything after it happened. And he cried because the soldiers were so merciless. They literally burnt everything. They burnt the temple to the ground. They burnt the walls, and there was literally not one stone upon another. And so even the Roman emperor or the Roman general Titus was sad about it. But that's because Christ literally said it would happen. That happened in A.D. 70. Okay, so back in A.D. 70, that's when Jerusalem got burnt, you know, literally burnt and thrown to the ground. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus said this about A.D. 30. So 40 years later, A.D. 30. So 40 years later, that happened. Don't worry. The safest place to be is in the center of the will of God. Okay? So you don't worry. You're in the right place tonight. And it's a safe place to be. The Lord takes care of those Christians who are trying to do His will, okay? So that we can be sure of. Now, if you're out tonight, you know, gambling at the casino, I don't know if we could say the same, you know. I would want to take shelter. But we know that where the safest place is in the center of the will of God. Okay, Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 7. For many shall, when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things need be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you up and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that shall ye speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop go not down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. But let him that is in the field not turn back for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Okay, so when is all this going to take place? Well, notice the key words here. Who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to Peter, James, and John. What ethnicity are Peter, James, and John? They're disciples, but what ethnicity, what country are they from? They're Jews, okay? Notice here, are we going to be going to synagogues as Gentiles, verse 9, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten? No, we're not Jews, okay? However, the Jewish people, during the seven-year tribulation, this is when it's going to happen. During this first 3.5 years is when the Antichrist is going to reveal himself, and he's going to start an underground persecution of Jewish people. But it's not going to be, he's going to pretend like he's the big friend to them all for the first 3.5 years. But then, verse 14, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when does that happen? When is the Antichrist going to give that offer that pig? He's going to offer a pig. That's highly abominable to Jewish people. Antiochus Epiphanes did that back in A.D. 173. B.C. 173, a Greek ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes, he offered a pig on the Jewish brazen altar of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel's Jewish brazen altar from back in Malachi's day and about 450, 550 B.C. when they built that temple, Zerubbabel's temple. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes offered a pig and literally desecrated it. And the Jews got so incensed at that nasty abomination of desolation there that they got whatever little strength they had, the Jewish people, and they overthrew Antiochus Epiphanes, and they actually won for a little while. They won for about 173 to 176. They had the wars. It's talked about in Maccabees. Now, Maccabees is a historical book, but it's not a perfect book, okay? It's in the Apocrypha, but by no means is it an inscripturated book, okay? So 1st and 2nd Maccabees are more or less historical writings of that time period, the B.C. era that Daniel talks about. Daniel prophesied that abomination would happen under the Greek Empire, and sure enough, it happened. Daniel wrote about 550 B.C., sure enough, it happened in 186 to 173 B.C. Okay, so now it's going to happen again. Jesus said it's going to, that happened the first time then, but the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 10, he's going to do it again, and he's going to offer a nasty sacrifice once again at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation, okay? The abomination of desolation, okay? And so notice here, Jesus is talking to Peter, James, and John, who represent the Jewish people, and Andrew, and he's telling them, well, first, during the first 3.5 years, you're going to hear wars. You're going to hear rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for the end is not yet. Okay, the Jewish people, once the trumpet sounds for us, it's all over for us. We're going up to heaven, us Gentiles, and any Jews that are saved, we're going up to heaven at the rapture. However, at that time, Jesus is telling the Jews, hey, start your clocks, watching, because you have about 7 years to ride this thing out, okay? So where do you think people in the tribulation are going to start reading in their Bibles? They're going to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're going to read the Olivet Discourse very thoroughly. Why? Because this has given them the timeline of how long they'll have to endure and what they need to look for, okay? Especially the Jews that are living in Israel at that time. Okay, so Jesus is warning his people what's going to take place during that seven-year tribulation. Okay, let's go to verse 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Okay, literally, it's going to be pretty bad during that 7 years. With all the, you know, you just read the seven seal judgments, okay? Teens, listen up, this is important. I remember we went through that Revelation study on Sunday nights, okay? Some of you were here for that, okay? That we read about each seal. One seal literally made when the angel poured out the vial, a third of all the sea life died. Ships in the sea, everything just turned to death in the sea. Well, that was just one judgment, one of the seal judgments of the seven seals, seven vials, and seven trumpets, and six vial judgments. Okay, so that was just one. Another one's going to be literally earthquakes all around the world that are going to destroy a quarter of all the citizens on the earth. Okay, so that's what literally is going to be turmoiling the earth at this time of the seven-year tribulation during the latter half. The latter half is going to be the seven seals, seven trumpets, and six vial judgments. Okay, some of them might start a little bit beforehand. I forget which ones. You'd have to go to your map, your little timeline to get all that. But so it's going to be a bad time during the seven-year tribulation. So Jesus is warning his people. Okay, verse 21. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So literally, the false prophet, he's going to make the Antichrist come back from the dead during that time. Literally, at the 3.5-year mark, someone is going to take a sword and smite the Antichrist with a wound to the head, and it's going to kill him. He's going to fall down dead. And then the false prophet, there's a holy trinity, which we know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. During the tribulation, there's going to be an unholy trinity. Does anybody know who's part of the unholy trinity? Satan's going to be in the personage of whom? Not the Antichrist, Paul. God the Father. He's going to be the anti-representation of God the Father, Satan. He's going to give life to the dragon. Who is the dragon? Who represents God the Son? No? Oh, I'm sorry. Satan is the dragon. The red dragon is Satan. And he's going to give life to whom? The beast. The beast that comes out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. Okay? He represents God the Son. That's why he's called Antichrist. And who's going to represent God the Holy Spirit in this unholy trinity? Who do you think? False prophet. Okay, the false prophet, and he's going to stand over the lifeless body of the beast, and he's going to make some kind of incantations and demonic things, and you know, there's some in magic. There's a little bit of power, okay, but it's limited in magic. You know, it's the devilry, sorcery. So don't get involved in witchcraft and all those things. So anyway, he's going to use some kind of witchcraft, and he's going to make the Antichrist come back to life and healed his wound to the head. Okay? And that's what's going to happen at the 3.5-year mark. And then the Antichrist is going to show his true colors, and he's going to wage all-out war on the believers, the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers who are getting saved during the tribulation. Okay, any questions? Teens, do you have any questions for us? Anything that you're wondering about? Armani, you usually always have a question for us. Yes. What question do you have? What has this brought up in your mind? The Olivet Discourse of Christ, 7-year tribulation, and all the things that hail. Okay, what's after at the end of the 7-year tribulation? Who's going to come back riding a white horse, and we're all going to follow him? Christ. He's going to come back, and he's going to step foot on the mountain, one foot on the Mount of Olives, one foot on the other side of the Mount of Olives. He's going to step on two mountains, and what's going to happen? It's going to split right in underneath of him. That's how powerful Christ is. That literally one word, and everyone's dead. And so, with the sharp sword that comes out of his mouth, what's he going to do as the Antichrist surrounds Jerusalem? To wipe it out. The Antichrist at the end of the 7 years, he's going to surround Jerusalem with all the kings, the king of the north, which is probably Russia, the king of the south, which is probably Iran, Persia, that area, possibly Egypt might have part of that. Okay, so you're going to have Russia, Iran, then China is probably going to be in there as well. China is ramping up its powers. They're getting stronger while we're trying to keep up. They're stealing our technology, and we're trying to keep up with China, okay? Same thing with Russia. Russia is continually developing and developing and developing. They're getting stronger, too. Okay, so the United States, we are still the superpower of the world. However, those nations are coming up fast, getting stronger faster. So they're the ones that are at the end times that are going to be literally using their military forces to surround Jerusalem and try to wipe it out. They want to wipe out all the Jewish people. Okay, they hate God's people. Okay, the passion. Okay, so Christ is going to vanquish them at that. And then what's he going to usher in? He's going to cleanse the temple. There's a little bit of a cleansing period time where he has to cleanse the temple. And then he's going to start what? What's Christ going to start? 1,000-year millennial reign. 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem. So that's what's going to take place. Jerusalem. Where will we be? Well, we'll be coming back down with him. We'll be. It says in 1 Corinthians, we'll be ruling and reigning with him. So that's the good news. He'll be our. We'll just be following him wherever Jesus goes. As Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherever he goes, we go. And so he will charge 1,000-year millennial reign. At the end of Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Antichrist will be thrown into hell, and the false prophet. The end of 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be loosed. He'll once again try to surround Jerusalem again. You'd think, okay, you would have learned from the first time it didn't work. He didn't. Satan knows a bit. He knows he's limited in knowledge, but he does. He thinks he can still win. So he's trying to deceive the nations, and that's what he's doing. Okay, and he's gonna at the end of 1,000 years, he's gonna surround Jerusalem again. Jesus is gonna literally wipe all them out, and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. He's gonna burn up this present earth and heavens and all this solar system, melt it with a fervent heat, and he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Okay? So that's the wonderful thing. He's going to start out all new, and we'll be there with him. We'll be enjoying that new heavens and new earth. And time shall be no more at that point. So, yes? That's up here. Right after the judgment seat of Christ, then we have the marriage supper of the Lamb up in heaven. That's us believers while the 7-year tribulation is going on here on earth. Any questions? This is the crown. The crown for those that love his appearing. That's the fifth crown. All right, any questions? Any questions? Yes, when will the rewards begin? Darnell? When do we get one of our crowns, possibly, or our gold, silver, precious stones? Hopefully it's not all burn up and we don't suffer loss. But we're doing something for God. We're going to church. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're trying to tell people about Christ. Hey, when will that take place where we get rewarded? Savan? When we get to heaven, and what's that called, that event? At the rapture, but right after the rapture. Judgment seat of Christ, sorry. Wrote it small. Okay, so that's at the judgment seat of Christ right after we get to heaven. Okay, good. Any questions? So the Olivet Discourse deals mainly with the Jewish people. At the end of the 7 years, it talks about verse 27, and he shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. And that talks about gathering all the believers during the seven-year tribulation. Literally, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Christ is going to gather all the believers. Because remember, they've had to run and hide for 7 years. And a lot of them are going to be spared. Most of them are probably going to be spared. Because even though the Antichrist is going to use everything at his disposal to kill them, technology will pretty much be wiped out, at least to a certain extent during the seven-year tribulation, due to all the earthquakes, due to all the things happening all over the world. Okay, so that's the good news. So that works for the Christian's benefit, that they can hide in dens and caves, etc. For those that get saved, the Jewish people and the Gentiles that get saved during the seven-year tribulation. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. Okay, so for the non-believers, when we get raptured up, they are then going to go through the seven-year tribulation. And for those that have already heard the gospel, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Thessalonians, for those that have already heard the gospel and have said, no, I don't want to get saved. No, I don't want to trust Christ. No, no. And they keep resisting the Lord's calling. This is a very fearful admonition for them. Some people say, oh, I'll wait till the rapture happens and then I'll get saved. When I see all you Christians go, then I'll wake up and I'll get saved. Well, is that how it's going to go? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we are. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, okay, and verse 8, then shall that wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, then shall that wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. It's interesting, every time the Lord talks about the Antichrist, he also talks about his destruction too. That should comfort us as believers. You know, the Antichrist is only going to be around for 7 years, and he's going to be consumed with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So when Christ comes back, the Antichrist is going to be wiped out. And sent to judgment in hell. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivable and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here we see, they're going to listen to the Antichrist. Those who heard the gospel said, nah, 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 I'll wait, I'll put it off. And so they're going to listen to the lie of the Antichrist, and God's going to send them a strong delusion, and they're going to not get saved. So that's why it's so important that we do our job in this life. It's so important that we go to church, pray, and witness to our loved ones, our family members. Keep praying for them every day. You never know when the Lord's going to save their soul. Never will know when something's going to go on behind the scenes in their life, and they're going to wake up and they're going to say, whoa, I almost died. I better go to church. Oh, whoa, this just happened. I need to start listening to my husband, my wife, my kids. I need to start listening about Jesus. You never know what's going to go on behind the scenes to wake them up, to get them to realize their desperate condition. So let us pray for them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from the Olivet Discourse of our Lord Jesus, how what's going to happen during the seven-year tribulation, especially to the Jewish people who are not saved during the church age, Lord, that you would just wake them up, Lord. We know that you are going to use them in a great way to spread the gospel during that time. We pray that you would help us to do our job as Gentiles until then, that we'd give out the gospel, that we'd tell our friends, neighbors, loved ones about Jesus, that they might be saved. Lord, I thank you so much for saving our soul, and help us to spread that to someone else, Lord. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are going to bring the little ones in, and Mr. Hodge and I are going to meet with some for membership.